And we talk about the authority of the believer all the time. We do. But mainly what we talk about here when we talk about the authority of the believer is we talk about the things that we can do. We can heal the sick. We can raise the dead. We can cast out demons. We talk about that. We talk about the fact that we can speak to the mountain and be thou removed and cast into the sea. And if we say it without doubt, then we can have what we say. We believe that. That's who we are. No doubt that's who we are. And so I've really been disturbed over the last couple of weeks about some things going on in the community where there are some denominational churches that are really pushing the battle of the authority of the church. The authority of the church. And when you do that, when they push the authority of the church, it takes away from their people the opportunity to claim healing for themselves. It takes away from them the opportunity to claim authority over their finances, to claim authority over all these things that could be going on in their life. So when the church says that they are the authority, then the other thing it does is it takes accountability away from the member. Because then the member says, well, if they're in charge, I have no control. A pastor friend of mine from North Alabama today posted something again that said, well, it's good to know that God's still in control. And I had to be here. I would have driven to North Alabama this afternoon and talked to him because when you put God in control over everything, you give yourself you don't have any responsibility. You can't take on the mantle of what he gave you to do as a believer, as a child of God, the authority. So that's what I wanted to talk about is what is our authority when we talk about the authority of the believer. We know that in Mark 11:23, whatever you shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, we said that. And that is who we are. But Mark 13:34, it said, the Son of Man is as a man that takes a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants. We talk about that scripture a lot, but we talk about it at the other end where the one that had five made with his and he ended up with 10. The other one that had three ended up with six, and the one that didn't do the right thing had his taken away. But the point was there that when the man of the house left, when the Lord left and went to sit on the right hand of God, he left the authority with us. So now what? What are we going to do with it? And so that plainly tells us it's our authority, not the authority of the church. You know, we used to say in prison ministry, we would say, who is the church? We're the church. We are the church. So all the authority in the church comes from us because we're the church. So how can that be? Because we have the authority of the believer. If we're in the Word, then having authority as a believer is a good thing. It's the people that are not in the Word that want to have authority in the church that cause issues, that cause problems. So in Matthew 25:14, once again, it was a reward or penalty for the misuse of what's been left to you. So if we have authority over things, if we can speak over healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, if we can say to that mountain, be thou removed, if we can talk about our illnesses, our family, our relationships, our finances, if we've got that authority, then that's great. That's who we are. But the thing that we don't talk about too often is the authority we have over our mind. That's an authority that we don't talk about a whole lot. Because unless we have a renewed mind, the authority we may have over things, over issues, we don't have it. We've given it away. So that's why it's so important for me to talk about not having the authority, the church authority, the hierarchy, the I don't know how to put it, where there's a group of men standing on top and they say, this is how everything's going to be. And if you want to be healed, you've got to go to the preacher and go to the altar and get healed at the altar. We've got to take that away. That's a construct that was set up to give authority to a man, to make it easier. Does that mean that it's bad if a preacher says, come up here and I'll heal you? Not at all. But we have to recognize that that's not the only option we have. So we take that back. We take that back and say, I've got the mind of Christ. I mean, the scripture made that clear. So in my case, and I'll just use me as an example, I have never had a problem with confidence. None. I mean, I've never worried about sales. I've never worried about business. I've always been confident. But I always said that just because you can talk louder and with more authority, that doesn't mean you're right. But people listen to people that talk louder and talk with authority. And they'll accept it as being right. If you don't believe it, look at the stuff on Facebook. And people quote it all the time. One of my favorite memes is the Abraham Lincoln meme that says, not everything you read on Facebook is true. And it's a quote from Abraham Lincoln. I mean, you know, that's exactly the way it is. But people take everything people say just because they said it louder and longer and take it as the truth. I mentioned earlier when we were here, before most of y'all got here, I really like Senator Kennedy out of Louisiana. I just love him because he's very soft-spoken, but when he gets through talking, it's like you're worn out because he just, there it is. And he uses all the facts and the figures and the data. He's a data kind of guy. He's a numbers guy. But when he says it, he's not like me that's loud and boisterous. He's just kind of calm. But you feel like you've been spanked when he gets through because it's just, there's no arguing with that. Well, for us to have that kind of authority, we need to recognize that our authority over our mind is first. We need to take authority over our mind, and not because we need to be better in ourselves. That, you know, my confidence prior to seek ye first, my confidence was in that I was always good at what I did. I always hit every goal. When I worked for Kairos Prison Ministry, I traveled all over the country straightening out community problems. That's what I did because I knew it. I knew it backwards and forwards. But just because I knew it and it made me an authority in that, there was no biblical authority in there. There was nothing in that that made anybody have to say anything to me except I would just tell them, if you don't do it this way, I'll shut you down. That's terrible. There was no biblical authority in that. I was assigned authority. It's like a policeman out on the street, standing out in the middle of the road and all the traffic lights are out, and he blows a whistle. As a man, he cannot put his hand on the hood of your car and stop that car. But he has the authority given to him by the city, by the state, whomever, that gives him his badge. That's his authority. That's the kind of authority we wear with Christ, is we wear that badge of authority. And the only way that we show that authority is by how we live, right? So like I said, my confidence was misguided because I had confidence in myself and things that I knew, things that I knew how to do, things that I knew I can do. That's where all my confidence came from. And so when I spoke with authority, it was based on what I had accomplished. It had nothing to do with authority given to me by anybody, except when I worked for the prison ministry. I had authority through them, but it was all because of knowledge. It was just head knowledge. And head knowledge will get you in trouble every time, because I won't bring up people in particular, but I know people that are atheists, and they talk about that their kids are good kids. And my question always was, so one day when your kid turns 12, 13, 16, because I said so doesn't work anymore. It just does not work. That's not enough. There has to be some basis in authority. And if you don't have some biblical basis in authority, then what do you defer to? Papaw? Well, Papaw did that to me, so I'm going to spank you for the same thing. No, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. If you don't have biblical authority, if you don't have biblical backing behind you. So Proverbs 16:8 says, Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So when you have confidence in yourself, in your, it, somebody said one time that a self-made man has a fool for a creator. And so when you have confidence in yourself, that's what you've done. You've got a fool for a creator. You believe that I got here by pulling myself up by my bootstraps. I did it all, and nobody ever did anything to bring me to this point. You're just asking for it. So when Proverbs says that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall, in the years I've been in sales, which has been since 1982, I have seen sales managers come and go. And when they fall hard because it's all about them. I got here because this is what I've been doing my whole life, and nobody is better at this than I am. And so, boom, next thing you know, they're not there anymore. Why? They failed. And then they move on to the next company and try the same thing. So when I operate only in my self-confidence, in my natural abilities, and that's dangerous, operating in your natural abilities, and head knowledge, I'm just setting myself up for a letdown. In the book of Hosea 4:6, God said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will reject thee. So what does that mean? That means if I don't get in the Word, if I don't stay in the Word, if I don't grow in the Word, it's not that God is going to destroy me. That's not what he said. You know, we talked about the other day when I was up here, is that in Hebrew, they don't have a verb that has anything to do with allowing things to happen. So whenever in Hebrew, in the Old Testament, when it says that God caused so-and-so to go blind or God did this, God allowed it. He didn't stop it. But in the Hebrew, all they have is a causative. So they say, so in this, when it said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, it didn't say, I'm destroying my people for a lack of knowledge. He's like, you know where to find the truth, and you're choosing not to find it. You're going to be destroyed for that. And he's not saying, I'm going to zap you. He didn't say that. It's not going to be like a bug zapper. He said, you're destroyed for that, for your lack of knowledge, because you chose purposefully, you chose not to find out the truth. How many people do we know like that? And they're in church, y'all. They're in church. They won't read their own Bible because they'll tell you that, well, how do you know the Bible? You hadn't been to seminary. Boy, that's lame. We read. The Holy Spirit guides us in the Scripture. I know a couple of preachers that they're missionaries. They learned how to read through the Bible. That's how their mama taught them how to read. And that's really the only schooling they ever had. And they go out there and they just beat the bushes trying to find people to bring to the Lord all over the world. That's what they do. That's all they do. Well, God love them. Are you saying that because they didn't go to seminary that all the people that got saved under them really didn't get saved? I don't think so. I mean, look at the Apostle Paul. He got that 2x4 conversion on Damascus Road. God popped him and he's like, yes, sir. You know, and he even told everybody else. He said, look, I didn't train under anybody. In fact, it was, 14 years before he even went to see Peter. 14 years. But he knew everything Peter knew. Why? Because the Lord, when he got him, just loaded him up. He did a full download. He didn't even have to put in a credit card to get the extra pieces that go with it. He got it all. So if it says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because thou have rejected knowledge, I will reject thee. That tells me that if I read that scripture, I better be finding out what he wants me to know. Because if you don't know what he wants you to know, then you'll believe whatever somebody else tells you, he said. You'll fall for it. You'll fall for it when they say, well, healing went out with the last apostle. You'll fall for that. So the authority of the believer has to be that you have the authority to get your mind in line with God. You have the authority to study and read and know Because the Holy Spirit, if you've got the Holy Spirit in you, the Holy Spirit's going to help you. It's going to help you to understand what you read. Because I told somebody a few weeks ago, when I first earnestly started studying Scripture in 85, I started in Proverbs. There's 31 of them. There was one for every day. I did that for 5 years, y'all. And I wrote it down. And every time, inevitably, I saw something I'd never seen before. Or it spoke to me in a different way than it had ever spoken to me before. But it was that's the way it is. I can't tell you the things that I run across. And I'll call Pastor early in the morning and say, you won't believe this. And I'll throw it at him. And it'll be something that may have been obvious to everybody in the world but me. But today was the day. Today's the day I saw it. And then you get out in the world and you run into somebody and they bring up something and that scripture is the one you needed. And that's only because as the believer and with the authority of a believer, it's my job to load up, to download every day, everything I can get my hands on, to be as full as I can get. John 8, let's get there. Hang on 1 second. I know I'm going through a lot of scripture, y'all, and this is just one of those things that's just annoyed me to no end that people allow themselves to be misguided, and it's a choice. They absolutely choose to do it, and it's just wrong. But John 8, 31 through 47 says, and I am going to read it all. It says, then said Jesus to the Jews who believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham, but now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we have not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, God, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? Convicteth me of sin. And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. So anyway, here's the beauty of this. If y'all saw those guys, they changed their story 3 times. I mean, just like that. Why? Because they're trying to argue. They're trying to argue out of their head knowledge. So the first thing they said is, we're Abraham's seed. And so when Jesus confronted them on that, they changed it and they said, well, Abraham's our father. And Jesus said, well, if he was your father, if you're Abraham's children, you do the works of Abraham. Well, then they said, we're not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And they just kept changing the story because it didn't fit. Nothing they said worked it out. Why? They're working under head knowledge. So they had been to school. They had been to rabbinical school, and they heard all this stuff. And they had been taught. They had been read the same thing over and over again. So they memorized it so they could spit it back out. Y'all, I don't memorize scripture. I know it's not bad to memorize scripture. I think it's a good thing. But I've learned that if you study it, and if you're asking the Lord to guide you through it, it's like the scripture says, you'll be ready in season and out of season when it comes up. You know, Jesus told the disciples, when they persecute you, when they come to convict you, don't worry about what you're going to say. It'll be there. I'm telling you, it just pops out. It happens. And you'll hear yourself. I mean, sometimes it's kind of like when we're praying in the Spirit. Do y'all ever feel like it's not you. You know what I'm saying? Do you ever feel like you're hearing it, but it's not you doing it? You ever feel that? That's amazing. That's amazing. That's kind of when you know it's kind of kicking in, right? Well, that's part of the authority of the believer, that we have that. We've got the Holy Spirit in us, so we can do that. So maybe the people that are naysayers that say all that went away when the last apostle went away, maybe they don't have the baptism of the Spirit, you think? Maybe they got enough to get them there. They got the Holy Spirit when they were saved, no doubt, but they didn't get the baptism of the Spirit. And of course, they'll argue with you about what that is too, but that's okay, that's on them. Let's see. So the authority we need to exercise just as strongly on the other side is authority over our minds. Like I said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. Why did it tell us that? If we weren't supposed to take authority over our minds, why did it tell us to be transformed by the renewal of our mind? Well, how do we renew our mind? We stay in the Word. Does that mean reading Scripture all the time doesn't hurt? Videos, other pastors, rewatching some of Pastor's sermons and Debbie's sermons. Just stay in the Scripture all the time. There is no excuse for any of us now. We all have a handheld that we can pull up anything in the world just like that. So we should be listening to videos and listen to them driving down the road, because who would watch a video driving down the road? Nobody would do that. Nobody in their right mind would do that. James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So how do we figure that out? How do we figure that somebody that stands before you, not here necessarily at all, but stands before you in some of these other churches I've been in, and they tell you that they're men of God, and I believe that they're Christians. I'm not saying that they're not. But then they tell you that A, you can't understand the Word, or B, that some of the things that the Word says are explicitly true really aren't true anymore, because when the last apostle died, it went away. How can you do that? So that's a double-minded man. That is absolutely a double-minded man. That is somebody that is telling you that, A, because that's how they learned. They're no different than those guys a while ago that said, Abraham's our father. Well, but our father's God. Well, you know, they're the same way. Their story doesn't line up. So when you ask them a specific question, their first answer is, well, you just can't understand it. You're having trouble understanding it. Okay, well, how did you learn it? Well, I went to seminary. Okay, I'm glad you did. Nothing wrong with seminary. But can you read? My comment's always been, why did God give a man the knowledge to create a printing press that could print billions of copies of Bibles? If God didn't want everybody to have one, he would have given him the idea that I can print every book in the world, but it's wrong to print Holy Scripture. But he didn't. He didn't do that. He could have shut it off, but he didn't. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. Hang on one second. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So that scripture is telling us to renew our mind. I mean, there are umpteen scriptures in the Bible telling us to renew our mind, to listen, to learn. So why is it so important? Well, here's why. One of the local churches, I've got some very good friends there. Their pastor is retiring after 25 years. Good for him. Great guy, good friend. But some of the people in the church have disagreed with how they're going about searching for a replacement. And so they did the biblical thing. They went to talk to the pastor. And they were put off. So they got another Christian friend to go with them. And they were put off again. And so then they wrote a letter to the pastor. since he wouldn't see them. And so the pastor decided to do a three-part series on the authority of the church and read the letter out loud in front of the congregation. And I only bring that up to say this. So then there are going to be people in that congregation, and they're all good people, y'all. They're Christians. They're going. We're going to see them. They're going to heaven. But because they don't believe that they have authority over their mind, that they don't believe they have the authority to heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out demons, they don't believe that they got that download. They don't believe that download's even available. Then whatever's said from that pulpit must be true. How sad. How sad. God could cry. I mean, the strength that we have as believers, the strength that we have with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, those are the things that drive us. Those are the things that make us want to lay hands on people, invite people to come to church, pray for them. And sometimes, as we'll all attest to, sometimes you walk up to somebody you've never seen in your whole life and you know something. You just know it. And then you get bold like I am and just say, "Can I ask you a question?" And when you ask them, they cry. How did you know? Because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Because I've allowed my mind to be renewed to give me that option to let the Lord guide me, to let the Holy Spirit guide me to that person. And He will, and He does. But here's what will happen, though. Because they're afraid to know what we know, because they're afraid to read it for themselves or to even believe it, because they're afraid they're going to be ostracized, and they will. You know, John Osteen one time, you know, he was a Baptist minister. And John Osteen said he got baptized with the Holy Ghost because he realized that there was more. He got baptized with the Holy Ghost, and his friend that was a Assembly of God pastor said, "Your church is going to throw you out." And so they did. They had an insurrection or inquest. Is that it? Is that what you call it? Anyway, they had a trial, and they brought the big dogs in, and they had a trial. And his congregation, after the trial, voted for him to stay. But he said, "I only stayed about 4 months after that because they couldn't take it." He said, "They couldn't take me praying in tongues. They couldn't take any of that." And he said, "So until you're ready to give all that up," you know, what did Jesus say? "If you won't give up father, mother, sister, brother, then you're not worthy to follow me." He didn't say hate them and kick them out of the room. He just said, "If you'll follow me first, eventually maybe they'll fall in place. But if they don't, oops, you know, you didn't lose anything." You know, I hate losing relationship, but there has to be a point. There has to be a place where you just walk off. I look at some of the people I know that they've walked away from their denomination and from their raising, and their families don't let up. They don't let up because they don't understand it, because it just doesn't seem natural. Well, it's not. It's supernatural. It's natural to us because we let it be natural to us. And let's see, I'm about to get us out of here and let Joab come down the aisle in just a minute. But bottom line is this. We are in our natural man, in our common carnal man, we're just as bad. If we let our carnal man have rule over us, we won't dive into the scripture because we don't want it telling us what we did wrong. We don't want it telling us that we need to straighten up and fly right. If we live in our carnal mind, that's why we're supposed to have the authority over our own mind, over our own bodies. We're not supposed to cave in, because if we can't control our mind, that means somebody can. And it ain't going to be us, and it ain't going to be the Lord. So if we're not seeking the Lord in all this first, then we're in trouble. We're just in trouble. And we'll accept anything that comes by. What was that old country song? "If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything." I think that's biblical. maybe not. But it's the same thing. It is the same thing. If you don't know what you believe, then you'll believe what anybody tells you when they talk louder and longer. You'll believe it. You'll believe it. I had a pastor one time stood in the pulpit, and when he was talking about Philip and the eunuch, he held his Bible up like that, like the word's going to run down his arm and out his mouth. And he said in that pulpit, and he said, and they came to a puddle, and they got out, and Philip sprinkled him. So after church, I walked up to him and I said, why did you say that? And he said, what does it matter? I said, it wasn't true. He said, well, most of these people don't know that. Wow, that told me everything I needed to know. So we left the church because he was willing to take that chance. He was willing to take that chance. And so it's that important. It is that important that something that simple, that if you'll change that word, what other word will you change? And so I didn't walk around the church telling everybody what he did. That wasn't my place. But my place was to leave. I had to make a decision. And that's how I made that decision. So bottom line, let's renew our minds. We do it every day. I know we all do. And when we talk in here, and Pastor and I talk about it a lot, what we say in here, golly, we know it. It's like Bear Bryant walking up saying, this is a football. We all know what the basics are. We get that. We do. But we're going to run into somebody tomorrow that don't know that. And it just reminds us when Pastor's up here, or Melissa, or Barry, or me, or whoever, it reminds us that although we may know the basics, that the people we talk to don't. They don't. So we have to be reminded and ready. So when that person comes up, we're ready. We're ready to say it out loud, you know. And that's why we're here. Anyway, Father, we thank you that you've given us time to be together, that you've given us time to share your word, and that your word is so true, and that we can count on it. When everything else around us fails, we know that we can lean on your word, and we can draw strength from it, and we can draw boldness from it, and that we draw life from it. We thank you for that, Father. And we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you.